Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. We'll begin in verse 1. Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter 2. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Look again at verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I'm going to preach a message I've entitled, Turn Your Flashlight On, Turn Your Flashlight On. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, as we look at the scriptures. And Lord, that we would understand, Lord, the great privilege and responsibility that you've given to each of us as your children. If there's someone here today without Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray that they would be drawn by the Father, convicted by the Holy Spirit, and amazed at what the Son was willing to do on the cross for them. May they be saved today. For the rest of us, Lord, I pray that we'd be challenged, dear God. Help us to shine as lights in this world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Of all the illustrations I've ever used in a message, one of my favorites is the story of a little boy that was sitting on the front porch of his house long after dark. And he was sitting there flipping a flashlight on and off. Next door neighbor across the way was sitting on his porch. He kept watching this flashlight go on and go off and go on and go off and go on and go on. He finally couldn't stand it, had to go figure out what this boy was doing. So he got up, walked over to the where the boy was sitting on his front porch and said, Son, what in the world are you doing with that flashlight? He said, I'm poking holes in the darkness. I'm poking holes in the darkness. I spent some time with some Christian men the last few days. I preached a Christian men's outing. And several of those men were preachers. I don't know how many times I heard the phrase, dark days. Preacher, we're in dark days. I heard this phrase, unprecedented times, unprecedented times. I heard some say, we've never seen anything like this before. Say, preacher, every time someone said something like that to you, what was your answer? I always looked at them and said, I know, isn't it exciting? I know, isn't it exciting? Folks, America is facing some dark days, but that gives us great opportunity. Philippians 2:15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a what? Crooked and perverse nation. That would be an accurate description. Sadly, it breaks my heart. A week from the celebration of the 4th of July, it breaks my heart to say this. I mean it. I don't say it with any joy, any pleasure, but that describes America today. A crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So God doesn't say if your nation that you're living in gets crooked and perverse, then turn your light off. He said, no, that's the opportunity to shine bright, shine as lights in this world. 2 Timothy chapter 3, know this also, then the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Folks, can I look at you again and say, I get no pleasure for what I'm about to say, and it hurts my heart. But I just read a description of our nation. This is where we're at, which tells me we're in the last days. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. Can I say this? We all have a flashlight. How about that? And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Yes, America is facing some dark days, but there's a silver lining, because the darkness gives great opportunity for the born-again Christians. It's our chance to shine. It's our chance to shine. We've conducted in recent years a handful of candlelight services, and we'll bring everybody in here, and all of the lights will be turned off except for just our front lights here that are dimmed way down. And it's always a fun, blessed service. And we always conclude the service, especially our Christmas candlelight, we always conclude it the same way. What we do at the end is have everybody stand, and the auditorium's shrouded in darkness. And an usher will go down, and they'll light the candle of each person at the end of each aisle, and we'll begin to sing Christmas hymns. And as each candle is lit at the end of each aisle, then they take their light and pass it over and light the candle next to them, and light the candle next to them, and light the candle. And the more Christmas songs we sing, the brighter it gets, and the brighter it gets, and the brighter it gets. And pretty soon everybody in the auditorium is standing there with a candle. And I watch that. Whenever we do that, I watch that, and I stand up here and say, that's what we're supposed to do. That's exactly a picture of what this church ought to be doing. Is we ought to be, first of all, making sure our own light is shining bright, but also willing to share that light with the person that we meet at the store, at the gas station, or wherever we're at. And folks, listen to me. I believe that if we're not careful, we can become so discouraged, we are going to miss the opportunity. That's why I said what I did. Hey, I know, isn't it fantastic? Isn't it great? What an opportunity we have. We need to seize that opportunity. Christ has commissioned us to be the light of the world. He said these things. These are his word, red letter words. John 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So Jesus said that he was the light of the world. Then he added something in John 9:5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he said, I'm the light of the world. Then he told them later on, now as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But I'm not going to be here forever. And then in Matthew chapter 5, we read these red letter words. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. See what he did? He became as the light of the world, and that light attracted men to him. And then he's reminded those men, hey, I am the light of the world, but I won't be here forever. And now he's getting ready to leave. And you know what he says? Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the light of the world. You know what that tells me? It tells me it's time for us as Christians to shine. You say, preacher, how can we be the light of the world? We're not the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we be the light of the world? Well, let's use the sun and the moon as an example, okay? Because, folks, I can't shine, but I can reflect his light. I'm not God, but I can reflect God's light. I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ, but I can reflect his light. You know, we watch in amazement as we look up at the night sky. Did you hear what I said? At the night sky. when it's dark out, when it's dark out. And you know what? Sometimes we're looking everywhere and we can't find a moon anywhere. But you know what? They call that phase of the moon the new moon. You know what the problem is that the shadow of the earth is blocking the rays of the sun and casting our shadow on the moon. And because of that, there's no light being reflected. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit right now? There's no light being reflected because the world is in the way. The world is in the way. Then we get the world moving off a little bit. And guess what? We get to that phase where we call the first quarter, and that's a half. That's actually a half first quarter, but it's a half moon. And you know what? Folks, think about where you're at. All right? Where half the moon's shining, but half of it's dark. And then we get to those beautiful nights, those glorious nights, where some nights you can walk out after dark and it's almost like it's daytime. And you think to yourself, you look outside, and you thought, well, I thought the sun set. Well, it's you can't see the sun. But you know what? You can see the reflection of the sun. And you know what? The brighter it is on this earth is all determined by how much of the world is between the sun and the moon. And then we get to that waxing. That's called a waxing moon as it goes from nothing to full brightness. And then there's the waning moon. And guess what? It's the same procedure going backwards. I want to ask you this, Christian. Are you waxing or are you waning? Are you waxing or are you waning? Are you getting better and brighter? Or can you look back at a time when you've shone bright for the Lord Jesus Christ, but that old world, that old earth's gotten in the way and it's dimming the light? What are you saying, preacher? I'll say it plain. It's time for us to shine. Folks, if there's ever a time that Americans, Christians need to shine, we need to shine right now. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. What does the Bible say that will help us, help me, preacher, maximize the opportunity before us? How can I shine bright in these dark days, in these dark days? Well, I want to give you three thoughts and three biblical principles that I think will help us to maximize the opportunity we have. Number one, we shine as lights every time we share the glorious gospel, the glorious gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the little g god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Watch this. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How are they going to see it? How is it going to shine unto them? We have to be the ones that bring it. We have to be the ones that give it. I think of the premium example. One of the premium examples of shining bright for Jesus Christ is John the Baptist. You know what Jesus said about John the Baptist? John 5:35. I love what he said about John the Baptist. He said he was, after his death, Jesus said this, he was a burning and shining light. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. He was a burning and shining light. You know what, folks? One of the reasons that we aren't shining as bright as we ought to is sometimes we don't realize that our fire's gone out. I mean, you got to burn to shine. You got to burn to shine. Your heart has to be filled with the Word of God. Remember what Jeremiah said where he had those scriptures in him? He said that it was as a fire burning in his heart. Remember those two disciples on the road to Emmaus? While he talked with the hearts, did not our hearts burn? And you know what? What'll keep your heart burning hot? For the Lord is the Word of God. You get away from the Bible, the fire starts going down. You ask the Holy Spirit to fill you and help you. And you know what? Give you a passion for souls. The Spirit of God, the Word of God keeps that fire going. John the Baptist, he was a burning and shining light. Why did Jesus say that about him? Well, if you go back and look at when the Pharisees came to question him, he showed up out of the wilderness preaching repentance. And they went and questioned him, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not Christ or Elias, neither that prophet? John answered unto him, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. He said this also. Behold, the next day John seeth Jesus cometh unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now think about that. They came to him and they said, who are you? Oh, I'm nobody. No, who are you? Are you the Messiah? No, 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 absolutely. Are you Elijah? No, no. Are you some prophet? No. Well, who are you? I'm just a voice. Voice crying in the wilderness. But there comes one after me whose shoes I'm not even worthy to unlatch. And then the day Jesus came and he stopped in the middle of the sermon, pointed his finger and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Folks, you know what? That is an example of every time we point somebody else to Jesus Christ. We are that burning and shining light. And boy, I believe right now the opportunities are endless. People will stop and talk about eternal things. They'll talk about the Bible in ways they never would. They'll listen more to a preacher or a Christian now than they did 6 months ago. Let's not miss the opportunity. We shine as lights every time we share the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Christian, it's time to shine. Time to shine. Every time you speak of Christ, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you pass out a gospel tract, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you share your testimony, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you witness to a lost person, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you go soul winning, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you hang a packet on a doorknob, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you share the gospel in your Sunday school class, teachers, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time we preach a message in a nursing home, we poke a hole in the darkness. Every time we preach the gospel in junior church, we poke a hole in the darkness. Every time we teach in primary church or mark off another road on our map back there or post the gospel online or invite somebody to church or bring a first-time visitor, give to worldwide missions or drive a Sunday school bus or stand up and lead a program, sing Jesus Loves Me with your bus kids, you know what you're doing? You're poking a hole in the darkness. Preacher, these are dark days. Yes, they are. What an opportunity to shine. I want to encourage you young people, when school starts back up, you shine in your public school. Shine in the dark caverns of the underground coal mines. Shine as you shop in the stores. Shine in your neighborhood. Shine at the gas station. Shine in the truck stops. Everywhere you go, wherever you go, no matter what the day schedules calls for, find the time, make the time, take the time to share the gospel with somebody that day. Folks, listen to me. We just got 2,500 more of the virus anxiety tracks. We've got stacks of them back there. Folks, please, now's the time. Now's the time. Now's the time. Listen, people are still opening to it. People are still taking them. People are excited to get them. Listen, please, everybody on the way out, we've got more in the back if we need them. Grab your stack. Let's get busy poking holes in the darkness. So number one, we shine as lights every time we share the glorious gospel. But there's also another portion of scripture that's such a blessing. We shine as lights every time we perform good works. Every time we perform good works. I took you to Matthew chapter 5, or I read that to you. If you want to skip over there real quick, this is a portion of scripture let's take the time to look at. Matthew chapter number 5, if you look at verses number 14 and verse number 15 and 16, Matthew chapter number 5. Verses 14, 15, and 16. Matthew chapter 5, if you look at verse number 14, there it is. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it give light unto all that are in the house. Here it is. Let your light so shine before men. Notice this, that they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen to me, folks. Take the time this week to be good to someone. Take the time to help somebody. You know, a lot of people are going through a tough time. A lot of people are going through a hard time right now. Been a lot of people lose their jobs. Been a lot of people that's discouraged. A lot of people, listen, that are just scared. You know, they need to hear something positive. They need to be helped right now. Take the time to help someone this week. When you do so, though, be sure and give God the glory, because the Bible did not command us to do good works so that we would bring glory to ourselves. And if we're not careful as Christians, we'll do the good works. But you know what we want? We want all the glory, too. We do good works so people will say good things about us. Man alive, my dad told me the most dangerous place to stand in the world is between God and his glory. So if you're going to do good works, don't do it to build a name for you. Or a following. Do it to bring glory and honor to your heavenly Father. I had Brother Denny come up and share a testimony of the men that went up to help Pastor Courtney Lewis. And you know what, folks? I seen the smiles on everybody in the church's face when we told them what we were going to be able to do to help that brother. I'm telling you what, I know you came back tired. I was looking at those pictures, and I seen all them young guys, and then I saw you. And I know Chad's work ethic, and I knew what kind of long days you'd be looking at. Brother, I was praying for you. I didn't even bother praying for the young guys. I just prayed for you because I feel your pain. But you know what? They come back tired, and they come back worn out, and they come back. I think you're probably still trying to catch up a little bit. But man, he got up here this morning. He said, you know what? It was a good tired. It was a good work. And folks, anytime we have an opportunity, and it's not always within the church or an extension of the church, because we all have opportunities in the circle of influence of our own lives. You know how many times God's going to bring before you an opportunity to just help somebody? I don't care if they're saved. I don't care if they're lost. Help them. Be a blessing to them. Because when they see your good works, they're going to start understanding that man does that. I mean, other people don't do things like that. Why does he do that? And that gives you an opportunity to open the door and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw Lisa come in, and I had this written down already, but her husband, Brother Denny Brewer, called me up several months ago, and he told me about a man that he worked with, and the man came down with cancer. And he said, I've gone by his house a couple times and taken food because he's out of work now, and he's looking at some surgeries and a tough road ahead. And he said, I'd like to go by and share the gospel with him. Would you come with me? I said, man, I'd love to do that. He said he lives right here in High Mara. And so we went over there and met and did the marathon there, and then jumped in one of the vehicles, and Brother Denny walked in. I know him and Miss Lisa. They paid for the groceries and brought in several sacks of meat and groceries for him. And you know what Brother Denny did? He said, could we have a few minutes just to talk to you? And we sat around the kitchen table, him, his wife, two daughters. And he said this. This is what Brother Denny said. He said, you know what? I've come by a few times, and I wanted to help you with food. But he said, I really got convicted. I just want to tell you, be honest with you, I really got convicted. Because even though I've come by and brought you food to try to help you and your family's physical situation, he said, I never really have shared with you the most important thing. And he said, so then I didn't know he was going to do this. So I brought Brother Jerry with me, and he's better at this than me. And next thing I know, I'm okay, here we go. Let me tell you something. I was able to open the scriptures and share with that family the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They listened. They were attentive. All four of them prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. I'm going to tell you something. That wasn't because I gave a fantastic presentation of the gospel. Listen to what I'm saying, church. You know why their hearts were open and willing to listen? Because when they were at the bottom, there was somebody that he just worked with. Come on, think about it, man. Somebody he worked with. They didn't owe him anything, but out of the goodness of his heart, several times had walked in their house. Now, folks, listen to me. That's how you get people's heart open so they'll listen. And that's what the Bible's saying here. We shine as lights in the world every time we perform good works. Why? Because good works save us? No. Our good works will save them? No. But our good works open the door to give us opportunity to be able to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we shine as lights every time we share the glorious gospel. We shine as lights every time we perform good works. And then last of all, we shine as lights every time we live a godly, separated life. Just listen to the Bible. Listen on purpose for a couple minutes, would you, as the Word of God is being read. Romans 13, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part he that hath that believeth hath with an infidel, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I love Ephesians 5. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. First Peter, I love this, stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Luke chapter 11, no man when he hath lighted a candle putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil also, when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Listen, take heed therefore that the light which is in you be not darkness. Be not darkness. In these verses we just read, there's both encouragement and warning to born-again Christians, the encouragement to shine as lights, the warning against hiding our lights. We're encouraged to cast off the works of darkness and encouraged to put on the armor of light. We are quizzed with a question. Here, listen to this. What communion hath light with darkness? Answer that. Then we are commanded to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. We're reminded that we were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Then we are strongly exhorted to walk as children of light. We are challenged to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, so that we can properly represent the one who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Think about that. We're reminded that no man lights a candle. I mean, no man, no common sense in this, to light a candle and then stick it in a closet and close the door. What good does that do? You know what? We're challenged. We're reminded. No man, that's the phrase, no man lights a candle and places it under a bushel basket. What good does that do? Jesus himself tells us to put our light on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Man, what a statement. That they which come in may see the light. The Lord then tells us to take heed. Take heed, take heed, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. One of the ways we can poke holes in the darkness, is to live a separated and holy life in these dark days of shameless sin, public and proud perversion, and reprobate behavior. If there's ever a time to stand out, stand up and stand out and shine, it's right now. Men, let me challenge you. Men, every time you lead your family in public prayer at a restaurant, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you walk away from a perverse joke that's being told at work, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you say no to temptation, no to sin, and stand up for Jesus, you poke a hole in the darkness. By the way, every time you go to the barber and get a haircut, thank you, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you pull out of the driveway on a Sunday morning and your neighbors see you faithfully attend church, you're poking holes in the darkness. Ladies, every time you refuse to listen to gossip, you poked a hole in the darkness. Every time you dress modestly and gender-specific in public, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you cook a meal for a family in need or bake some cookies for some bus kids, you know what you did? You just turned your flashlight on. You poked a hole in the darkness. Every time you encourage your husband to faithfulness and holiness, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every time you teach your children the Bible or sing with them a Sunday school song, you poked a hole in the darkness. Old ladies can have such an impact for Christ. Every time you instruct your daughters in holiness and discipline your sons to obedience, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every day you exercise virtue and display biblical femininity, you poke a hole in the darkness. Every one of our ladies that volunteer in the nursery, I want you to know this. As your pastor appreciates it, thank you, because you're helping me poke holes in the darkness. Every time we have a lady come up and stand and sing a special song, she pokes a hole in the darkness. Every time you witness for the Lord or encourage the fallen or speak a kind word to a stranger or bend down and tie the shoe of a bus kid, You may not know it, but you just poked a hole in the darkness. Pastor, these are dark days in America. Yes, they are. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it exciting? Jesus came as the light of the world. Then he commissioned us to be the lights of the world. Every day we can shine. Folks, every day we can shine. By sharing the glorious gospel, performing good works, giving God the glory, living separated and holy lives. During these times of worldliness and godliness, godlessness and perversion. Dark days. Preacher, dark days. Discouraging days. No. This is prime time. Can I say it? This is shine time. What an opportunity to shine as lights in this world. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the opportunities around us. Lord, I pray as your Holy Spirit now works with each Christian to apply what they've heard. I pray that we'd all come out brighter and better having been here this morning. Lord, use this message to challenge Christians. If there is someone here that's never received Jesus as their Savior, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. May they understand that now is the accepted time. Lord, they can put it off, but there's no guarantee they'll ever have another chance. So I pray, Lord, as you speak to hearts, maybe someone, one person here without Christ, just one, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them. Lord, help them to come over out of darkness into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we need every Christian on their A game right now. Every one of us, Lord. I feel like in a handful of months, this window of opportunity might have slipped away. Lord, help us not to get caught up in worldliness. This isn't a time for Christians to backslide. This is a time for us to be more determined, more dedicated, more devoted than we've ever been. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place, even this afternoon, as you give us opportunity, let us shine. Please let us shine. Tomorrow and the next day, all through the week, wherever we are, wherever we go, Lord, I pray that we shine light. Shine light into the darkness. Poke holes in the darkness of this world. Help us to do it, we pray in Jesus' name.